A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. "What man among you, having 100 sheep, and losing one of them, will not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be a rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Are there any children who would like to come up for a children's homily? Do you want to come up? No. Okay. You know, it's really hard when there's just one, and so I don't want to force anybody. All right, so let's talk just a moment about these parables that Jesus gave. And you know, the bit about the losing of a sheep and leaving the 99 to go find it. I understand that. My grandfather was a cattleman in Texas, and when a cow was missing, we went to find it, right? Because, you know, he didn't have a big spread like the big West Texas spreads. You know, just a kind of a small little East Texas farm. And he just had a few dozen head of cattle. If one was missing, we noticed. And we go, because we want to make sure it didn't, you know, break a leg or get stuck in the mud. We want to get it out because we took care of our animals that way. So I understand that. But the lost coin. How many of you have lost a coin and turned the whole house upside down to try to find the coin? You know, it's something that perhaps goes past us in our culture. We don't quite catch what it is Jesus is trying to say. Well, in ancient wedding ceremony, the groom would give to his bride coins that she would sew into her bridal veil. If you look up pictures of ancient bridal veils, you will see these coins sewn into the edges of it. Now, the purpose of this, it was kind of like a dowry. It was a symbol of the pledge that the groom would make to his bride to care for her, to provide for her, and to protect her. It was a symbol. In fact, in the Greek word for that custom is called araban. And in the Roman province of Iberia, modern-day Spain, that custom continues, and it's called the arras. There are some Hispanic people here, and you may have that custom of the arras, where the groom gives to the bride coins as a symbol of his commitment to provide, to care, and to protect. So when she loses one of these coins, it's kind of like losing your wedding ring. So as you know, you might have, you know, women here, you might have many rings, but if you lose your wedding ring, well, you will turn the house upside down to find it, won't you? Because it's not just a ring, it's a symbol of something very, very valuable to you. It's a symbol of the pledge made to you by your husband. So it was one of these coins that the woman had lost, and that's why she turned the house upside down to find it, because it was her husband's pledge to her. In our life in Christ, we have a pledge from God. I've got to fix those bells so they go off at the right time, don't I? I've got to learn how to do how to work that thing. I tried and I couldn't figure it out. All right. In our life in Christ, we have a pledge from God. You see, we have lost something. Now, in the first parable, it's very clear that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has lost something. He's lost us. He's lost people who have gone astray. And he goes to find us because of his immense love for us. But in this second parable, while that first concept is still valid, but there is a deeper meaning. Because we have lost something. Think back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and their relationship they had with God. They would walk with God in the cool of the day. They would converse with God. They would share their needs and concerns with God, and God would care for them. God would protect them. God would provide for them. And that close fellowship, that union that Adam and Eve enjoyed in the garden before the fall, we lost that due to sin, didn't we? We have lost that because we've gone astray like the lost sheep. So not only has God lost us because we've gone astray, we have lost that union with God. But God has given us a pledge. St. Paul says that he gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge until we receive the full inheritance with Christ in glory. We search for God, and God is found by us, and he gives us the Holy Spirit as that pledge, as that lost coin. And when we receive that Holy Spirit, we receive the pledge that God has to give us, so that even in this life, even though imperfectly, in this life, in this world, we still can walk with God. We can share our concerns with God. We can listen to him. We can receive God's care and provision, because that is the Holy Spirit's job in our lives, is to be the presence of God in this world, even though we touch God imperfectly here. But it's the pledge that in the future, when we are united with Christ in heaven, in glory, that we will have the fullness. But we can have that relationship with God, even that Adam and Eve lost from the garden, because he has given us the Holy Spirit as a pledge that we can walk with him and live with him and enjoy fellowship with him. See, our lives have a lot of brokenness in them, don't they? Now, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, let's go back to that story for just a second. It says that Eve looked at the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and when she looked at it, she says, "It looks good. It looks good to eat. I think eating this might make me wise." And so she partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and in doing that, she took on a sense of legalism and law and rule, so that she no longer enjoyed the beauty of that relationship with God. She took upon herself rules and regulations and laws and legalism, the knowledge of good and evil, of right and wrong. But there was another tree in the garden. And that was the tree of life. And Jesus has given us the tree of life. Now here's the rub. The tree of life is the cross. Now maybe looking at rules and regulations, you know, because we can set up rules and we can say, these are my rules and you don't abide my rules, so I'll judge you, I'll criticize you, I'll treat you as less than I am. Right? We can do that, can't we, when we live by rules and regulations. But when we live by the law of the cross, when we live by the cross of Christ, then all we can do is live a life of thanksgiving for what Jesus has done for us. And we can look at the cross and we can say, well, that fruit doesn't look so good, does it? That fruit looks like suffering. That fruit looks like pain. That fruit looks like I don't know that I want to go there. But the truth is, all of our lives have suffering, don't they? All of our lives have pain. All of our lives have brokenness. We can bring that pain and that brokenness to God in the cross. And He can cleanse us. He can wash us. He can take that away and fill us with life. Life of God. It's the life with God that we have lost. It is the life with God, that life of friendship and union with God. That's what we lost. That's what we search for. And in the cross, in the tree of life, we find it. And how do we do that? It's actually very simple. That's the reason you're here. It's because here we come to the feast of Thanksgiving. Here we come to receive the Lord. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to share the Eucharistic feast. And you can come to the Eucharistic feast with the intention of getting your weekly obligation done, so you can go, you know, you can be gone for a week and come back next week. And that's okay. If that's your intention, that's okay. Or you can come to the Eucharistic feast with the intention of giving your life to God, of giving God your brokenness, of giving God your pain and your suffering, of giving God your confusion, of submitting and giving your life to God. And then you will not just fulfill an obligation, you will receive the life of God in return. When you give your life, your body and blood to Jesus, He gives you His body, blood, soul, and divinity to completely transform you. So you can meet an obligation, or you can be transformed. And the choice is ours. We get to choose how we come to this table of the Lord. But if you truly give yourself to Jesus, if we truly lay down all that we are and all that we have, which comes from the wedding ceremony, right? All that we are and all that we have, I give to you. When we give all that we are and all that we have to Jesus here in this Eucharistic feast, He gives all that He is and all that He has to us. And our lives are never the same.